Wow, after that really uplifting and encouraging reading, let's go to God's Word this morning. We're going to look at what God has to say. Let's open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your Word because it does teach us. It does show us what you are and who we are in you. So, Father, this morning I just ask that you would help enlighten our hearts as to how we can worship you, the true God. Amen. Well, today is one of those difficult days. I've got a raging headache. And didn't get a lot of sleep last night, so I'm a little drugged out. So I'm not a really exciting and dynamic preacher anyway. So today could be a little interesting. You know, I'd hoped to do both chapters 11 and 10 and 11 today, and I just simply couldn't do it. I couldn't get it all in. And in fact, we see a shift in the next chapter, praise God. So we'll look at that next week. Lord willing, if the Christ doesn't return, we'll be here again next Sunday. And my hope this morning is as we go through Hosea, you're going to see God speak to you. And I hope he speaks to you in the way he spoke to me this week as I was working and preparing this. And so I hope each of us, each and every one of us, then will leave here this morning a little more spiritually alive, understanding what God wants us to hear from Hosea and the other writers of his inspired word. And I think what we're going to see this morning is that God is calling us to more. He wants us to be more in love with him. He wants us to desire his word more. He wants us to be in prayer more. He wants us to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ more. And he wants us to love so much that we develop a passion for serving. And so I hope these are the things that you're going to see this morning as we go through his word. And so we're going to begin. And we're going to take this rather, in some ways, discouraging chapter. And I think you're going to see, though, there's things that we can find that is encouraging. You know, all through the Old Testament, Israel is seen as the vine or the vineyard of God. In fact, the prophet Isaiah, who is a contemporary of Hosea, he said, "Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved has a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted in it choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, and he had hewn out a wine vat in it, and he had looked for a yield of grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry." See, the Old Testament uses the image of the vine or the vineyard to describe Israel. And Israel is supposed to be producing good fruit. However, what we see often in the Old Testament is that even though God has chosen Israel and is blessed by God, Israel does not produce good fruit. Israel did not allow God to tend the vine and prune the vine so that it would grow strong and produce the very best fruit. In fact, in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 5, God asks, he says, "What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? And when I've looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes?" So what we're seeing here is God bless Israel, and Israel produced sour grapes. And Hosea now says the very same thing as Isaiah. If we look at verse 1 of chapter 10, it starts out and it says, Israel is a luxuriant vine that yields its fruit. The more his fruit increased, the more altars he built. As his country improved, he improved his pillars. His heart is false, and now they must bear the guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their pillars. So Hosea is saying, even though Israel flourished because God had blessed them, as they grew, instead of becoming a blessing to God, they built altars to idols. And then they built buildings to glorify man instead of God. And so Israel is not doing what it's supposed to do. It is not bringing God glory. Israel's proven itself false, and it must fully bear the guilt that of its idolatry because it's unrepentant. And Israel claims to have a heart of justice. But Isaiah says, behold, it lives in bloodshed. So each chapter of Hosea has looked at Israel's sin from a different viewpoint. In this chapter, then, Hosea looks at Israel's divided and deceitful heart that seeks bloodshed instead of the glory of God. Verse 2 begins with, it says, their heart is false. Other translations use the word faithless or divided or deceitful instead of false, but the message is the same. The people of Israel are lying both to themselves and they're lying to God about what they truly believe and what they truly treasure. They're kind of like the old snake oil salesman in the Western movie that says his elixir is going to cure anything that anybody has. And he knows it's a lie, but he says these things because he wants to gain at other people's expense. And Israel thinks that this self-seeking pleasure lifestyle that we saw Gomer and the rest of Israel get involved in the worship of false idols will satisfy them. And they claim they are still God's people. But in truth, their lifestyle is destroying them. And before God had saved me, my story was much the same. I thought I could find purpose and satisfaction in my ambition and my self-seeking lifestyle. My life was a wreck, even though people told me I was a success because of the money I earned. And the harder I worked to achieve what the world said would truly satisfy me, the less satisfied I became. And so I was on this path of destruction, but you see, that's only a small part of it. The other part is when you're on this path of destruction, then you're going to take your wives and your children with you. And, you know, the women and children, it tells us in Hosea today, were dashed and beaten because of the path that Israel had taken, which was led by men. See, women and children always suffer because of the unrighteous decisions of men. It's been that way through history. And so now as we look at this background of Hosea and all that's been going wrong with Israel, let's look at some other things. So I say to you today, Israel did not hear God. This morning, if you have ears, you need to hear what God is going to tell you. And so we can start by asking some questions. Do we study Hosea today because of the history that it holds? Do we read Hosea because God inspired it to be written? Do we study Hosea because we want to understand and learn from Israel's mistakes? Do we read and study Hosea in the hopes that it will speak to us and it will help us live for God's glory? Well, the answer to all those questions is yes. That's exactly why we look at it. But we also need to ask some other questions. What is it that God wants each of us to learn from this? And how then, as we learn, can we become more righteous in the eyes of God. How is this story going to be my story, or it's going to be your story, if we don't learn to seek God and treasure Him? Because Israel did not. I mean, how can we use this story to allow God's love to penetrate us so deeply in our hearts that we're able to love others, even those around us that drive us crazy and we find that are somewhat unlovable? I mean, this is where the problem lied with Israel. It's where we strive today. We are called to put to death our passions for this world and live with a passion and a heart for God. It's Israel's heart. If we look at the history, Israel's heart was just as hard as the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. It was carved into stone. And they held on to those tablets and the Ten Commandments, but they didn't embrace God as the first commandment told them to. See, they had placed everything else above God. So I hope this morning you're going to see how then we can change so that we place God above all else. See, Paul, the one I love greatly, what a great disciple, he loved all those that God gave him to pastor. And he had a great desire for the church. And he loved those in Corinth, and he desired a relationship with them. And Paul wrote, he said, "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered to us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. And not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant, not of a letter, but from the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So Paul was telling everybody that it's through a relationship with Christ. It's through a living relationship. It's not the Ten Commandments written on stone. It's not a letter that comes to them in ink and paper, but it is the letter of the Spirit that lives in our hearts, hearts of flesh. And so he says, you need to become people of the Spirit so that you can live with love and grace and mercy, and you can share the Spirit of God with the world that doesn't know Him. And see, in order to share effectively the Spirit of God, we need to grow in our love and our joy that we find in Him. Because the only true path to salvation is found through Christ and His Spirit. And so we need to fully appreciate what Christ has done for us. And we should have this great love. But then if we look at Christ's life, Christ had sadness. He had great sadness for the people that didn't know God. And so for us to fully understand Christ and the love of Christ, we also need to understand a little bit of the pain and suffering that Christ had for those who did not know God. We need to have a pain and suffering in our hearts for the people we meet in life that do not know Jesus Christ. And as Hosea continues, we find that, you know, Israel's heart is neither hot nor cold. Israel's heart is hot for the world. They're doing everything to seek the world, but is neither hot nor cold for God. They claim to be God's chosen people, but they don't really love Him. They have placed so many idols before Him. And this is the message, wasn't it, of Hosea's marriage? You know, Hosea loved with an unwavering love Gomer, just like God had an unwavering love for Israel. But Gomer and Israel repay this agape love. How do they pay it? with unfaithfulness. Not once, but over and over and over again. Today, millions of people who call themselves Christian and say they're chosen by God are living exactly the same way Israel did. Many even go to church. And they would say, look, I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Muslim. And I go to church, so that must mean I'm a Christian, right? But they don't love God. And they don't serve Him only. Hosea warned the people of Israel they needed to repent and turn. And when it didn't happen, God grew silent for 400 years until He sent His Son, the living Son of God. And His Son came and brought the new covenant, the one that we enjoy. Excuse me. And as part of the new covenant, and as part of the gift of Christ, when we come to Him, He gives each and every one of us the gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. It changes us. It gives us, you know, we watch these movies. I do like sci-fi. And so you watch these movies about outer space, and they always talk about the Force. May the Force be with you. And it's, what they're trying to do is find something other than the Spirit of God. Because it's the Spirit of God that gives you a life-changing force that lives within you that helps you then worship God and God only. You know, Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, it's not about the world. It's about this relationship with God. And it could have been the very same words of Hosea. Hosea is telling us the same thing. But in Galatians we read, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Paul says, you know, it's really easy if you want to think about it to tell who is truly Christian or not. He says the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Wow. And I warn you. And then he says, as I have warned you before, and just like, isn't that what Hosea is saying? He's warned the people over and over that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, not only has Paul warned the people before, Hosea has warned the people before, but isn't that what the Bible is about? It not only encourages us and lifts us up, but it warns us all through the Bible of what is right and what is wrong. Now Paul continues and he says, here is what it means to truly live for Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. To live for Christ, though, it's not like a tree. It's not like when the fruit ripens and then we have this little short period of time to eat the fruit before it spoils. See, to live for Christ means we continually to grow. Our fruit should be always getting riper, ever becoming sweeter because of what Christ does in this path we call sanctification, in this whole path as we live for Christ, mature for Christ, and grow deeper into Christ. See, this was one of the things that hit me this week as I was studying. Am I the Christian I was years ago? Have I become a stagnated Christian? Or am I ever growing closer to God through Christ? Is my spiritual fruit still ripening? Or is it just sitting there and doing nothing? Am I growing spiritually? If I'm not growing spiritually, if I'm not growing deeper in a relationship with God, then I am not the husband, I am not the father, and I am not the grandfather that God wants me to be. That was really convicting for me this week. My heart wants to be all those things, and yet because I'm a broken sinner, I often stumble and fail. I understand God loves me and He has unfailing love, and I know it's what I desire for my family, but I can't always do it. And that prompted some questions then. I said, am I the spiritual leader I should be for my wife? I can't be that if I'm not growing spiritually myself. If my life as a Christian has become routine. And if I'm not growing, then I can't be what God calls me to be. Am I the spiritual mentor for my daughters and my son-in-laws so they can benefit? So hopefully they'll make fewer mistakes than I made, that I can give them some wisdom of life and wisdom of Scripture and help them navigate in this broken, messed up world. I can't be that either if I'm not growing spiritually, if I'm not ripening, if I'm not growing ever closer to Christ. And then I said, well, then can I be the grandfather God calls me to be? Because my grandchildren are asking all these difficult questions. They're wrestling with the world and saying, who am I and what is the whole purpose of the world? I can't be that either if I'm not growing in my passion for Christ, because I can't give them the spiritual wisdom they'll need in this life. Then I asked, am I the pastor that God wants me to be? Am I the shepherd that God desires me to be to help all of you, the shepherd that you deserve? And again, the answer is, I can't be that if I have lost my passion for Christ and if I am not growing spiritually. So what am I to do? I need to be more intentional in my daily life, just like you need to be more intentional in your life. You know, whether you live to 40 or 80 or 100, you don't have a lot of time on this planet. What are you going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? How am I going to impact the people that are so precious to me with the time that I have left? See, I need to love God with an abandonment. I need to love God no matter what the world says. And I need to love Him in a way that He enables me and strengthens me to become those things I can't be without Him. I mean, if we look back at Galatians and verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Don't we all struggle with that? I mean, we are to crucify our passions for this world, and we're to have great passion and a burning desire in our heart for all things that are of Christ and are holy. And yet, because of the static of this world, it is so difficult to do that on a level, continuing basis. You know, Hosea is preaching that God has chosen Israel, but Israel has not chosen God. Hosea takes us back to the dark days of Israel. I don't know if you understand what he's saying there in verse 9. Reading verse 9, he says, from the days of Gibeth, you have sinned, O Israel, and there they have continued. See, the tribe of Benjamin occupied the town of Gibeth, and a terrible thing happened there. It was horrible, and it was so bad, it caused the other 11 tribes of Israel to almost wipe out the tribe of Benjamin. If you want to know more about that terrible story, about why Israel couldn't seem to move on and it was bogged down in its sin, then you need to read Judges chapters 19 to 21. See, but the point Hosea is making is that those who claim to belong to God must live differently than the world. How different are we living? We see all through Hosea, Israel lived just as the world lived. And they continued to live in their past and couldn't repent and move on. When we commit our sins, do we repent? Do we truly give them to God and move on? You know, Paul addressed in his second letter to Timothy, he said, God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity or from wickedness. See, Israel failed to depart from its iniquity and its wickedness. Paul's words could have easily have been Hosea's words. If you look there in your Bibles in chapter 10 of Hosea, verse 12, it says, sow for yourself righteousness. Hosea is saying, turn, repent, sow for yourself righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up the fallow ground. For it is the time to seek the Lord that He may come and rain righteousness upon you. See, God through Hosea is calling people to repent, to live differently. God is saying, if one lives in righteousness and in truth and in love, they will glorify God, and then He will not turn from them, and instead He will rain righteousness down upon them. We don't know who wrote 1st and 2nd Chronicles. So we call them the chronicler. The chronicler in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 said, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away His face from you if you return to Him. See, this implies that God will not turn away if we return to Him, we repent and we live for Him. But in this very same second letter of John, he wrote that truth and righteousness and love are the very evidence that somebody is born again. But then further into that chapter, John had a concern. There was a group of people that were trying to be disruptive and destroy the church. They said they had discovered new ways of the Lord, and they wanted to leave the old teachings and develop new teachings and find new truths. And they said the writings of the inspired men of God that wrote the scriptures needed to be abandoned or changed or brought up to date. They said, we're the newly enlightened. I mean, we see this kind of behavior today, don't we? The self-promoting behavior. Behavior where people says, God has made me special and you need to listen to me because I am so special. I mean, we see it in the pulpit. We see it on the TV. The thing is, every time with the Israelites, with the people that John was addressing, with these pastors and churches and TV evangelists today that said they have this new way, what they end up doing is leading people in a path away from God. They lead a path where people develop idols and worship things other than God. And as Hosea said, he says, not only did they create idols, but they started living lives of whoredom. They were so abusive towards God. I mean, think about the Pharisees, too. I mean, they did the same thing, right? They became legalistic and power-centered and controlled, and it was all about their position in the society, and they wanted to maintain their leadership of Israel. Today, churches that take the Word of God and begin to change it and bring new things in, what are they doing? I praise God that the Word of God doesn't change. It is true yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so why do we study and spend time in this unchanging Word? Because it's through the Word of God that He instructs us. He shows us what's good for us. He shows us what's bad for us. He shows us the path that if we will follow is the path of salvation. This brings us back to my earlier questions. Am I continuing to grow spiritually? Am I growing in God's truth, His righteousness, and His love? Or am I, like many Christians, the same today as I was yesterday, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago? I mean, men, God has called you to a position of leadership. Are you caring for your wives spiritually? And as Paul wrote, he said in Ephesians, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. See, men, if you're not the husband, the father, the grandfather, who can breathe spiritual life into your families, and it's centered on the Word of God and on prayer, then you are failing to do what God has called you to do. And as 2 Chronicles says, at some point God may turn His face from you. I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation, but you can lose blessings. What a horrible thing that would be. And at least I don't say anything to the women. I mean, women. Are you women of the world? Or are you women of the Word? Are you encouragers for your husbands, helping them become the spiritual leaders God desires them to be? Or are you, as God said to Eve, your desire shall be contrary to your husband, and he shall rule over you, and therefore there will always be conflict within your house? And we may all ask at this point, and I wish the Israelites had asked at this point from Hosea, how can we live? What should we do? We might say, I talk of love, but I know often I'm unloving. I talk of truth, but I speak at times untruthfully. I desire and strive for righteousness, but I know and I carry the burden of sin on me every day of my life. How can we then, as those who love Jesus, how can we, those who are marred with sin, live lives that glorify God? Well, you know, Jesus gives us the answer, and it's pretty simple. He says in John, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus Christ is the vine. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. See, God planted the vine or the vineyard of Israel, but they chose not to abide in God. They were the vines. They were not of God. Where Jesus is the true vine, and we're not the vine, we're the branches of the true vine. Jesus, as the true vine, will not produce wild vines like Israel. He doesn't produce sour grapes like Israel, but He produces branches. And He'll prune us, and He will care for us, and He creates a spiritual life that truly can bear sweet fruit, not just for ourselves, but for those that Christ puts in our lives, because He is only the true source of spiritual life. I mean, we all have these bodies, these physical lives, and they don't last very long. I mean, I don't know if I told you, but I'm getting a new knee July 20th because my body's wearing out. And that's okay because my spirit isn't, and my spirit never will because of God's promises. But I need to work at remaining in Christ. And so the fruit of the kingdom is when we remain in Christ and Christ remains in us. There's this double abiding or remaining, and it's inseparable. We can't be in Christ without Him being in us, and Christ can't be in us without us being in Him. See, to have union in Christ is the secret of life. It is the secret not only of spiritual life, but it is the secret of this physical life as well. And then we can bear spiritual fruit. I can bear fruit for my wife. I can bear fruit for my family. I can be the pastor that God wants me to be. And I can help you bear fruit in your lives. See, as we strive for this, then Christ's heartbeat becomes our heartbeat. It's my desire this morning, and it's that not only I recognize, but that you recognize and appreciate God's love for you that is only found through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is my desire this morning that I may grow ever deeper in love with Christ, because that will enable me to grow ever deeper in love with Joyce. I want to be the Christian of today and tomorrow. I don't want to be the Christian of yesterday. I want to grow every day. I want to find more to understand about God in my life. And I want then to share this love of Christ with my children and my grandchildren. I want to be somebody people can look at and say, here's a person who lives with truth and righteousness, but he also has a great desire for love, and his love then would spill out into the lives of others. That's my heart's desire. I mean, that's what I would like. And we together can be more than we are as individuals. That's why God gave us spouses. That's why God gave us family. That's why God gave us the church. See, so this is my desire too, what Paul said to Timothy. He said, it's my desire that you be true children in the faith, that you would know grace, mercy, and the peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And together, you and I can know this better, and we can help each other. My weakness is not your weakness, and your weakness is not my weakness. We are called to help each other. And when we grow in this depth of love for Jesus Christ, then He says He gives us a gift that the world just doesn't understand. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. See, my beloved, do not be the Christian of yesterday, but be more of a Christian each and every day. Grow, even if it's just a little bit, each day in your understanding of God and of Christ and who you are and what a blessing they have given you. God will bless you, and as He blesses you, like He told Abraham, you are to take those blessings and bless others in His name. See, if we don't abide in Christ and if we don't grow, we will die. There's no way to stand still and be blessed the way God wants to bless us.